This is RSVMB Update, episode 337, recorded Friday, December the 2nd, 2011. That's why we use our listeners.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of RSVNB Update. Chief Snake is here this week.
Always. Well, yes. not literally always, but...
Well, if it's somebody from New Zealand, then yes, that is you.
Yeah, you know
always.
Me.
Yeah. That's the main thing. So, this episode should be fairly self-explanatory of what we're going to be covering if you... browse the RSVMB YouTube channel, but we'll discuss that later, and the little incident regarding that, but I'd be saying too much at this point. So, anyways, this week's update, the Polypore Dungeon. So, basically, for anybody out there who didn't read the news or didn't go visit it, it's essentially a new Slayer-based dungeon underneath the Mormyr Swamp, and it has creatures that are magic based in it, so it's a kind of a big update to Magic. In that it introduces some interesting magic spells and interesting armor that is hybrid based, but we'll get there shortly. So the first thing you'll want to do to get down to this dungeon is the mage training arena, where you get those pizzazz points. I think that's the way you got your bearings when I told you to dial in that fairy ring code BIP.
Yeah, well, I missed the fact that there was a cave right next to the fairy ring itself, and so I just... But that is a disclaimer, actually. While I may not have actually read the update this week, I did go and visit it, which is saying something for me.
Yep, so... you can get there either teleport to Duel Arena, run north and then east and then down a little hole, or you can just take Fairy Ring BIP, and it's on that little island that used to be on the river south. That's where I used to go high elk things.
And so, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah. Why? I don't know, because it's nice and private, and only people that have done the fairy quest can get there, and nobody really goes there, because there was nothing on that island at that point. So I think three times I went there for a few hours to elk.
Okay. I once did it in the, what's it called? It's the weird place that you can get to by fairy rings that has those star fruit things.
Wait, I gotta stop you. I think I just heard like a dinosaur outside your room or something.
That's quite possible. It's a very remote place here.
Anyways, continue.
Sorry, I was trying to see if I could recreate that noise somehow, but I couldn't do it accidentally, so you are correct, it must be a dinosaur. I lost my train of thought now. You were saying
other places you went to elk, strangely.
Yeah, the place... Why am I even talking about this? This has no relevance to the update whatsoever. It is magic-based, though. I suppose that is a good thing.
Yes, that is the one common thread here, so...
Yeah.
No, essentially, what happens is you go down there and you can fight all these Slayer creatures ranging from the level 9 runts, which I think you killed one of those, didn't you? I think you...
Yeah. Like a boss.
But you didn't touch any of the harder ones, did you?
Well, I was wielding magic cicatures.
Yeah, so of course... So there's a huge variety of NPCs down there, ranging from level 9 all the way up to level 280. The level 280 fellow requires that you have 95 Slayer to be able to harm them. Then there's a level 200 that requires 88 Slayer, and a level 180 that requires level 82 Slayer, and then ones below are level 140, 120, 41, and 9 as you found out, and those ones do not have a Slayer level requirement on them. Mm.
Oh, so one of them requires 82 Slayer. That's good, because I'm quite close to Slayer level, and previously there was nothing that 82 Slayer was useful for. That's good.
Yeah, because you missed out on 3x Slayer in back in October.
Yeah, that's true. That could have got me 83. That would have been useful.
But any case, I just want to mention with this that first, everything that these creatures drop is related to the new equipment. So polypore spores, for example, are used to make a polypore staff. And the interesting part of the polypore staff is that it requires, I think, 3,000 3,000 spores and 5 fire runes per spore. And this requires that you have level 80 farming to put it together.
Cool.
So it's of course putting farming into it because it's all based on fungus, so you need to grow the fungus with all these spores and the fire runes, and you got the staff. So,
That's different.
yeah. So, then of course you need the polypore stick in order to do that, and that comes as a drop. And then you just make that, and you get the staff. And then at the end, the staff has its has a magic-based attack that you can use, but the attack also has, of course, magic attack bonuses like any other staff. But there are better staffs to use, like Staff of Light or even the Ancient Staff, because you really only want to be using the staff if you're casting the new spell down in the dungeon.
Oh, okay.
So, essentially, this staff is a way to train at these creatures, and then, of course, from there you get the armor as drops, and then. Well, no, you don't get the armor. You craft it in much the same way, So, it all comes back to the spores and then the things that you can put together, like the fungal flakes and whatnot, to create different kinds of armor. And as I said, this is the interesting part of this because if you look at what the stats are on these items, you'll see that yes, they do have a magic attack bonus, but I think it's the first time that they actually have a melee defense bonus on them. So, in a way, they're combining the fact that you can now use magic on melee-based creatures with this armor set.
Right.
And that's essentially what the whole big idea behind this is that this is a different aspect of combat because we've not seen that before. And that's I think that's a good thing for this update because if you think about it, combat really hasn't been balanced in a long, long time. I mean, going back all the way to even when RuneScape 2 first came out, there was always an imbalance in it. So, I think this goes a little bit of the way, but still, I think we're going to have problems later on. And that's
Okay.
some of the armor, for example, the Ganodermic Poncho, which is one of the ones, gives 120 magic defense, 130 crush, 185 slash, and 18 stab, while giving a plus 32 magic attack bonus. So, just imagine what you could do with that.
That's pretty cool.
And then the
Well,
leggings, of course, have a
I don't know
similar
how
one, but
compared.
less. Well, no, the main thing is that it's has the melee and magic, and then the magic attack. Because if you put
Yeah.
on regular melee armor, you take your magic attack down quite a bit. So.
Yeah.
So that's essentially how this works, and you upgrade the certain armor that you get from the creatures. So, for instance, fungal, Grifolic, and Ganodermic flakes are added to the mycelium pieces of armor, and then that upgrades them to fungal, Grifolic, and Ganodermic armor. Then, of course, this also requires crafting, so we're bringing crafting into here now. So, it really is an update that's a comp that's come. encompassing multiple skills, and with Slayer as a central point in it. But I think one of the issues with it was that the Slayer people were not impressed with this for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why they're not impressed with it, but they really are finding that this isn't the kind of Slayer update that they were wanting. Some of them, at least.
Why do you think that would be?
Well,
are the
you know,
drops not worthwhile for them.
Yes, because that's exactly where this is heading. I mean, the update came out on Monday, and by Wednesday the price had already gone down, and then it went up a bit again on Thursday. But you know, the prices just really were just going straight down. So, you know, that tells me one thing, that Jagex is intending for this to be a new type of armor that everybody's going to use. Well, the Slayer people are upset because, you know, they can't make their usual profit off it, which is understandable given the way that the armor is set up. So, I don't know. I think it's a matter of opinion, and the graphics down there are quite nice. I must say that. Actually,
they are. They make me lag, though.
Yeah, they make me lag, too. Why are we saying that when we have these computers that can play video games?
I don't know.
It's handle RuneScape.
Well, play video games. Like, yeah. RuneScape doesn't count as a video game.
Well, no. Like, TF2 and Call of Duty, we could play those just fine. Why can't we play RuneScape just fine?
It's sad, isn't it? I can even play them in 1080p. There's no difference in FPS.
I
have discovered. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
And yet, with RuneScape... So. Life is so difficult.
Anyways, one more thing on the crafting levels. Those range from level 3 all the way up to 98.
Wow, cool.
And you know, the update from last week, the wiki, people are actually editing this and filling in all the info and stuff that's needed. So that's good.
Oh, wow. So that's already launched and everything now.
Yeah, that launched last week.
Oh, okay.
With the website.
Very good.
Yeah. So. Anyways. So that's essentially the Polypore dungeon. And, you know, I think the idea of it is what counts. I mean, it's not something people are going to go to as a profit maker like Tormented Demons or Glacors. So if you're a Slayer, just keep that in mind, that this is not going to be an update you're going to use to get rich. This is just something that's going to become one of your regular Slayer tasks. So I think with that, I like this update.
That's good.
But, you know, the price. But the prices are kind of, I don't know. It's just weird how they do this kind of thing with the economy, where they set something out as a standard price and that just goes down right after. So I guess that is maybe an indicator of what the wider community thinks of it. I don't know. That's just what I'm guessing based on the money transfer of the thing. But I think that's good for the Polypore dungeon, unless you want to mention anything else about it. I don't particularly know what else there is to say, because there's not much we can say about a dungeon, really. Well, it's very good of you.
Thank you. It's a job. There's
a dungeoneering resource dungeon down there that requires level 82 dungeoneering, if you have that.
Not quite.
Yeah, so. Anyways, that's Polypore. Definitely head down there and check it out, even if you can't kill the things, just to see what it looks like.
Yeah, since they're non-aggressive. That's what I did.
Yeah.
I played it safe.
And
I was just hoping
noted...
my bombing cape would scare them off.
Well, you do need farming to make that that staff with the stick.
That's right.
So farming does play an important role there. But anyways. I don't know. I was a bit surprised when I saw 80 farming, and I was thinking, JX, embracing farming? That you require level 80 to use this staff? Wow. So. that staff can hit up to 31 on those creatures in there. If you have level 99 magic, well, 80 will only hit 220.
Okay, that's quite good.
Yeah, so it's
there's
it's
a big
good,
difference
as I
there
said,
between max hits.
Yeah, well, you know that's the way the magic level steps up and everything. So
yeah,
but as I said, it's a good thing for fighting down there, so you might as well. And you don't take any damage when you're fighting them if you just turn on Protect from Magic, so that's good.
Mm.
Anyways, that's the Polypore Dungeon. So let's talk about some of the little tweaks and fixes from, last week. As we mentioned in our little promo, they fixed that little chat thing, finally.
Yes, that was actually the thing I was most excited about this week. That was kind of something that made me want to quit when they screwed that up. I mean, seriously, yeah. Because chatting to people is one of the only things I do in the game. Like, oh my gosh, it made it difficult.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? I mean, I kind of had the similar reaction to you, is that it was a highlight of the week. Aside from the farming involved in this update, but it didn't make me want to quit, but definitely the same level there. And, you know, you and I were talking, they could have done that in such a better way. Just make the entire chat box draggable. It's not that hard. But, you know, it's Jagex and Jagex logic, and that's
same old, same
what we're gonna, yeah, that's what we're going to call a Jagexian move.
Hmm. Almost as Jagexian as the glow around the wrist icon is now centered correctly.
Yes, that's another good one, isn't it?
Hmm.
You know, I meant to show that in our promo, but I forgot to turn rest on when I took that picture.
It wouldn't have really been much to show unless people had seen how it looked before, but...
Yeah, but you know, I'm betting most people didn't even notice that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't until you showed me.
Well, you probably didn't use rest.
Well... No, I mean, we as masters of agility, well, you as a master of agility, I as an almost master of agility never need to rest anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Also, this week, you can now block 6 Slayer tasks if you have more than 300 quest points.
Oh, cool.
So that's good for Slayers.
I don't know why you need to do that, but...
Oh, well, there's lots of little ugly creatures that you might want to get
rid
of. Like,
yeah, I guess as they
like
bring out more
things. What else is on my list? I forget. I haven't done Slayer in so long. I know that I have both Warp Tortoises and Warp Terror Birds on my list. I think I also have Sukas and something else blocked.
Why Sukas?
So, yeah. I just don't like the... whole magic thing of it, but I guess with this update I could have yeah, I know, but I just didn't like doing them. They were just too far out of the way and stuff. I already had enough teeth.
Yeah, they do get boring though.
Yep. Also, they made available high quality audio downloads from Dominion Tower in one piercing note.
Ooh, cool, I think. Ooh, the zombie hand emote animation is now more in sync with the player when lagging.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm
thinking no one else would have noticed this, but being from New Zealand, I have this problem a lot.
What did it exactly do?
Oh, it's just the hand, like the player would step back and do his animation. Before the hand would kind of come out, and so the hand would reach into you while you were stepping back, and it just didn't work. It looked really, really bad, and it did that kind of every time because I lag a lot.
Okay. Yeah. See, I'd never noticed that because my ping is always like less than 70 to the world that I go on most times. Well, how do you ping to the New Zealand worlds? I mean, are those better?
Yeah, ish, but...
Anyways. Also this week, all new accounts will need to have email validation. So this is to do with account security and future email-based security updates as well. So they want all email validations for new accounts made. And, you know, I think this is a good thing to do also from the stance of real-world traders, because if you didn't need to put in an email address and verify to sign up, you could just use any odd email address, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be something you can verify, so this is a good one. So I'm quite happy with that. And finally, Bloom Lighting. This is going to be another talking point here that's
a pretty big update, really.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know how they got away with sticking that in as just a tweak and fix.
Well, you know, essentially that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah,
It's not Bloom.
Bigger deal out of it, though.
Like, it's not Bloom Lighting in the sense of what Bloom Lighting is in other games.
Yeah, but it is still a noticeable difference.
Like, for instance, it just turns up... Like, for instance, teleports just look like they turn the contrast up, which doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
My understanding of Bloom Lighting is that it's supposed to, when things are lit, they're supposed to act as a light source for the things around it, not just be a brighter color of something, you know?
yeah, that's right. Yeah, in saying that, yeah, with the teleports, it actually does nothing, does it, to the things around it?
Well, no.
I'm sure it doesn't. It just increases the contrast of the teleport itself. I mean, for some things, it does. You do notice things that lighting up around it. But the teleport.
Have you seen anything that looks better with Bloom Lighting that just doesn't look like it's had the contrast turned all the way up?
Any swampy area looks very different.
Yeah, it's kind of a lot more foggy, swampy. Okay.
Yeah. But apart from that, individual things. I'm not too sure.
If you search for Bloom Lighting on Google, the third result is from the RuneScape Wiki for this week's update, Bloom Lighting Effect.
Oh, dear.
So I guess Bloom people lighting. Are actually talking.
Bloom Shader Effect.
Yeah, see?
Feathers of light around very bright objects in an image.
And then it's supposed to...
So ironic that it disables my anti-aliasing when I do that.
Yeah, you know, it's not just Linux. It does that for people on Windows, too.
Really? But what's the point if it turns it off?
Yeah, I don't know. And it doesn't even work on OS X. It just makes the screen flicker madly.
So it doesn't work anywhere. This update seems really stupid.
You know, I think maybe they could have held it back a bit and just kept adding the effects in behind and just kept it turned off for everybody until they worked out these bugs, because, you know, I just don't think that, you know, the only thing I think that looked good with Bloom Lighting was fire.
Mm.
To me. Everything else just looks oversaturated.
Yeah, that's true. Fire, I remember. But yeah, if it works as badly as it does on Windows as it does on Linux, i.e. if your anti-aliasing gets turned off, then it's kind of pointless, in my opinion.
Yeah, check out that screenshot. Like, doesn't that look kind of oversaturated at the center of that portal?
Yeah. That's probably what it does. See when you see things like that, it looks really silly because they can
There's a white dot in the
it's
center.
It's not that difficult. Yeah. It's not that difficult just to adjust the contrast manually of whatever it is normally. And then you get that same effect as they have with blue.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they're doing that, because I asked a question before in one of the developer blogs about how they do particles without using the graphics card, you know, because you need, typically particles are rendered using a graphics card. And they said that, yes, we do render them in software using some specific method. I forget what it is, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're using some kind of effect like that here, too. Like, not actually using true bloom lighting, just like they're not using true particles, which is, you know, it's
like
kind
you were
of
saying,
sad, because they should be doing that. So many people have the ability to have these high graphics cards. Why hold everybody back and just make the use the graphics effects, even if it requires you to update the minimum settings for the game? I think they still say you need a GeForce 4 to play the game.
Which is like pretty low.
Yeah. I mean, even Intel integrated graphics in the Sandy Bridge chips play the game just fine. So
They do it brilliantly, yeah.
Yeah, you've seen that on your little MacBook there.
My MacBook, yep. It baffles me that an integrated chip can get better performance than the dedicated graphics card that I used to have.
Yep.
It's really saddening.
Yeah, that's the way things are going. But, you know, I just wish that they'd be a little bit more clear about what they're doing with this. And is it really bloom lighting, or are we playing some kind of software trickery on people? I never tested if it works in software mode, because my software mode doesn't work here on OS X.
Oh, okay. Nice.
But anyways, I don't know. Are you guys using bloom lighting? That's something we'd be interested in knowing, probably, because you just go to the topic on the forums after, which is at rsbmi.com/forums, and tell us your thoughts on bloom lighting. I mean, personally, I think it's a good update to the game engine, but I would have liked to see it more refined before it came out. I'd have also liked to see it be more realistic rather than just amping the contrast up. Because another thing that just looks totally absurd is the, you know, the Ectofunctus at the Port Phasemates place.
Yep.
So, anyways.
Port Phasemates?
Yeah, how do you say it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm too embarrassed to try.
Well, I think that's it for the game update of the week.
Excellent.
December behind the scenes. So,
woo.
Big month this month, primarily, I think, because they have to pack in the Wilderness update that they didn't put in last month. But first thing mentioned here is a third batch of loyalty reward items, and they got some pictures of the concept art on here. I could see myself going for a set of colonial armor, maybe, or colonial clothes, I guess it would be called.
Okay, I haven't seen these since, I mean, I would potentially be able to purchase something. How expensive are these things?
We don't know how much they're going to be.
Oh, okay.
But they say 26 new auras, including a tier 4 aura, will be out, 6 new titles, 3 recolored objects, and 8 new emotes with the 12 days of Christmas. They say people will be able to afford these, so I bet they're going to do some kind of sale. And they say their tier 4 aura will be called Aegis? Is that how you'd say that? A-E-G-I-S?
Oh, okay. I don't know. I've heard that before, but...
Anyways, it's going to be a shield that reduces damage by up to 10%. So, that might be interesting.
Aegis.
Huh. A large collar or cape worn in ancient times to display the protection provided by a higher religious authority or the holder of a protective shield, signifying the name, same, such as a bag-like garment that contained a shield.
That works.
Interesting. That also, guy at the top of the Wikipedia page looks like a rock star. He's really long hair.
You mean Jimmy Wales there?
No, Brandon Harris, Wikipedia programmer.
Oh, okay. So it's not a Jimmy Wales one then.
No, no. He looks like he's in a band. Right. Jimmy Wales isn't that attractive.
Other rewards include the new awesome title, the Lolcano emote, a ring of stone recolor, allowing you to turn into different stones, the colonist outfit, and my own personal favorite, the Highlander outfit.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah, what's
it
a Lolcano?
It would be cool to have some, I don't know, laughing, exploding from laughter. I like that theory, actually. I'm going to go with that. Lolcano. Exploding like a volcano from laughter.
Well, you know, it could just be absurd as a rufflecopter, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they chose Lolcano. But I suppose we'll find out.
And you could recolor your ring of stone to turn into a different stone.
Yeah.
You know, I always wondered why people buy that ring. It's an onyx gem.
Yeah. Like, seems
seriously
a bit of a waste.
An onyx gem currently goes for 8.4 million GP.
Wow. How much does the Ring of Stone itself go for? It must be a lot less.
Ring of Stone,
949K. Wow. Ooh. If only you could take gems out of rings.
Yeah. Anyway,
that should be a really advanced crafting skill.
Yeah, why don't you suggest something like that?
Or, as levels increase, the ability to remove gems from pieces of jewelry.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that in real life.
Dismantle jewelry. Yeah, it's not that difficult.
Melt it down and remove some of the claws, maybe, if they have them. But,
yep.
Anyways, so that's Loyalty Batch 3. Next up is Rogue's Den 2, an update to the Rogue's Den, because people aren't using it for the Rogue's Den. It only took them about 4 years to figure that out.
I enjoyed the Rogue's Den. That's a shame. So what are they planning to do with that?
Well, basically, they're going to bring it back to the whole agility course, thieving, and herblore aspect that they wanted it to originally. The original one's still going to be there, and they mentioned that the fire is going to be there.
Oh, good. So. Yeah.
His wonderful rogue's den is full of cooks rather than thieves using the everlasting fires to burn lobsters. It's hardly the purchase he had in mind for his wondrous cavern.
That's very true. I mean, it's infested with cooks. Bastards, get them out of it. That is actually the only thing that keeps that place interesting, I think.
Yeah, that's true. And people going there to get their thieving cape at 99.
Yeah, I suppose you would have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So there's an armor reward, which gives benefits, additional benefits while they're playing. They don't say what those are. Yes, they do say. So sometimes you might make a 4-dose potion rather than a 3-dose potion and will gain small amounts of XP when making unfinished potions.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's good.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Make the flashiest of flash powder.
Where do you get that?
Oh, sorry, it was just end of the second paragraph.
Oh, I see. Right, because this is going to be named the Flash Powder Factory.
Yeah. Ooh, warning, there are new thieving and agility requirements of 75, previously 50, and a new Hobler requirement of 50.
Well, that's good.
That's good. Wait, so is this for the whole thing?
You know, the way that sentence is written, I'd say yes.
Yeah. Interesting. I wonder if they will be increasing the rewards from the previous... Actually, are they keeping the...
Yeah, they said they were going to keep it. They said the old one...
That's good.
The old one will still remain.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like
it. And, you know, I'd bet on them increasing the rewards because they recently just increased the rewards of a whole bunch of other minigames as well.
Oh, okay. Because, I mean, that thing was really pointless unless you did actually want a rogue costume, which I did, and it took me a long time to get.
And I don't think probably gave any thieving benefits, did it?
Not really, no. It was really, really minimal thieving XP. and Agility XP, yeah, for that matter.
I remember that.
But it was fun.
Okay, and then also we're going to get the Wilderness rework.
The yes.
Graphics update, which was
the
really
really wild rework. Say that 10 times fast.
The really wild rework. The really wild rework.
Faster. But, that's not very fast.
Well, I don't want to go faster. I want to focus on what's here in the content.
This isn't a relationship, Shane. This is RuneScape.
What?
Go faster.
Yeah, go faster in the content. I don't want to go faster.
Why not?
Because
The really wild rework. 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 Bleh.
I think you got to 4.
No, well, maybe. Go, you do it.
The really wild rework. 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 The really wild rework.
You're slowing down. Faster.
Yeah, that was 6. No, that's good.
Really wild rework. The really wild. Okay. So I think we've excited people enough.
Yeah. So next up, Christmas 2011, A Towering Feast.
Oh,
so this year they're going to be focusing on the Wizard's Tower. Oh, I thought you meant we excited people enough that we could move on to Christmas.
Well, I was still waiting to hear something about the really wild rework, but that was just me.
Oh, I thought it was evident from last month in that
it probably that it was delayed, I didn't know anything about it, so.
Yeah, they say there's going to be lava going up walls and stuff, so that should be interesting.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, yeah, so can we talk about Christmas now?
Yeah, if you want.
So it's going to focus on the Wizard's Tower, and I'm guessing we're going to have to do something with food. Making a feast using a multi-cannon. I'm not sure how that's going to turn out, but whatever they say. So, snow emitters, tease Timmy and the imprisoned demon. I didn't know the demon was named Timmy.
Timmy, in the Wizard's Tower.
Yeah, that demon up in the Wizard's Tower.
I'm pretty sure it had a different name. I'm sure they named it at some point.
I used to go train magic there.
Maybe this is something different.
Well, it's the Wizard's Tower.
It's different.
And this is the oldest and dearest characters, so. Anyways, they're going to, creation of a snowman army rewards include a new chaotic cookery emote. Interesting. A curious new wand and a brand new pet. So, that's good.
Ooh.
Oh, and this is what you were excited about earlier, 30 more bank slots for members.
Hooray! Well, I don't really care because I haven't played enough to need to deposit all of my stuff, but if I did try to, I wouldn't be able to, so I'm glad I haven't needed to yet.
Yeah, yes, that'll bring us up to 464 total slots. That's good.
Wait.
Then a bunch of little updates also coming this month. Conversations, being able to use the keyboard to move through them, like the space bar. So you can press a number, move on, space to continue, just hold on. So I think that's good.
Oh, cool.
Tool belt.
For NPCs. I got really confused with that. That's cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't read that. Tool belts?
Yeah, it's essentially, a tool belt. It says it will hold pretty much everything that you need, from farming implements to tinder boxes.
Farming Yay! Implements.
I've called them that before.
Holy crap, why have they never had that before?
I don't know. I mean, like, this is something
simple.
People have wanted for a long time, isn't it?
If I had had that while fire making, I would have had a whole slot less to fill with another load of logs.
But the question is, will you be able to use the tinderbox from within the tool belt?
fail. I wonder how that'll work. I always wondered why you couldn't just light logs by right-clicking on them.
Yeah, that'd be a good thing. But it'd probably make fire-making too easy. But there's not much point for that skill, is there? So.
Oh my gosh. Wow, that's... Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting...
Yeah, because for most tools like that, you would actually need to...
It's going to be a new kind of equipment interface on the...
It does say using it couldn't be simpler. But... As all resources can now be single-clicked, meaning you won't need to withdraw a tool in order to use it. Wait.
Oh, okay. That's good then.
Maybe that's more, Oh, who knows? We'll see. Sounds
yeah, we'll see when it comes out. And there's also the money pouch, which can hold up to 2.1 billion GP. So I'm guessing this is a way for people to hold more than 2.1 billion coins.
Oh, okay. This is interesting. How long
you just put the money... have
you been wanting something like that for?
Well, there are a bunch of items that are at 2.1 billion GP, so I'm guessing that's been an issue for quite some time. So,
yeah.
Definitely a good update on that thing, hopefully. Could you imagine if there is a glitch where you put your money in and it didn't come out?
Yeah.
Or what if it duplicated money and you kept able to withdraw it? That would be bad, wouldn't it?
It would, yep.
This is
pretty incredible, really, these updates, the tool belt and the money pouch. I mean, they are probably the most influential updates in a very long time. I mean, at the core of the game.
Of the year!
Yeah.
I mean... We had this saying from February onward, it's all downhill from here, and, you know, this might be going up now, I think. We'll just have to see.
Yep.
But, of course, Christmas is on the 25th, so they say the 12 days of Christmas, running from December 25th to January 5th, 2012. You'll be able to claim 6,000 loyalty points, so 500 loyalty points a day. So log into the Members World and you'll receive 500 points a day. So all you need to do is log in and you'll get these points. So, you know, that'll be good for you since you haven't had any payments yet.
Yeah. And since I'm a real nerd and won't be doing anything during that time.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of in the same boat too. I find the Christmas time, like right after the... actual holiday is when I end up playing the most RS usually in the year.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what I'll be doing around that time. I haven't got any plans, but my family probably
yeah,
does.
You know, those things always fall into place at that time, but that's 23 days away now as of recording.
Ooh, so. That's exciting.
But, 6,000 loyalty points, and that's a good number, because I think you have to wait, I think it's on the order of 3 or 4 months before you get that much in a single lump sum payment.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that is very generous of them.
Good. Just what I needed.
Yeah. Because you were eyeing some of those auras, weren't you? Like Jack of Trades.
I guess.
Still, I don't think
I wasn't really terribly concerned, but.
Oh, okay.
There's that dinosaur again.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear it that time, so I must have been hearing things.
Oh, I don't know. It's just fireworks or something. I don't know why someone's doing that at this time of the year.
Also, did you notice in the news posting? They use the word Christmas 7 times.
News posting. Funny. Oh, you were serious? Yeah, I didn't notice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they used it 7 times. And I'm pretty sure if you look back to every Christmas update in December between 2006 and last year.
Hold on.
It was phrased as holiday update.
Oh, okay.
So I, right. you
Hold
know,
on. My dog
I,
is scratching on my door.
Oh, scared. Yeah, that's what happens when fireworks are running about and little animals running around.
Okay, what did I miss?
You can. Oh, I was just saying that's what happens when you have a dog running around and there's fireworks to be scared of.
Running around. He's inside. He just...
Well, yeah, he did that last time there was fireworks and we were doing the show.
Oh, yeah, of course. All animals do that.
Yeah. It just happens to be your room that he's interested in.
Yep. And me. Of course.
Oh, well, that's good. That's nice.
Well.
Anyways, where were we? Oh, yeah. I was saying I was happy that JX ditched the whole political correct bandwagon. Rather than calling it Holiday 2011, is actually calling it Christmas 2011 this year. That's good, I think.
Hmm.
I was happy about that. That was one of the things that made me happy today when I read this post.
Good Christian values for you there, Shane.
Yep, that's true.
That's good.
Yeah, you'd need to wait 4 months to get over 6,000 points. In month four, you get 7,000 points.
Oh, okay.
I just checked that out, but yep. So we'll be looking forward to the Christmas update, and we won't need to harp on Jagex for calling it holiday update. So, and they also mentioned RuneFest 2012 will be held somewhere, maybe not in London, maybe somewhere else. So they want you to vote in the poll. You have until the 4th, so Sunday, if you're listening to this on the weekend. Currently, as of recording, we're at 18% Chicago, 18% Los Angeles, 30% London, and 34% New York for the possible locations. And, you know, I didn't get any flack from last week in my reasoning that it should be held in London, so I'm going to keep on that it should be held in London.
Okay.
You don't want to know what the whole reasoning was. We spent a whole 20 minutes discussing the merits of whether or not people who didn't wear around in the Middle Ages care about RuneScape as much. So
what?
yeah.
No,
seriously.
I'm happy not knowing. We can move on. That's cool.
Okay. But I think I should say that since last week, you know, there's been a bit of extra discussion. I was saying... these cities really don't make sense. There are better convention cities like Orlando on the East Coast and San Francisco and Seattle on the West Coast. That's where everybody else has their conventions.
Absolutely.
So, yep. And you know, I don't think you'll have any chance of them coming to New Zealand with RuneFest unless you guys really invade the game or something.
Oh, you never know. There are quite a few Kiwi players. No, there aren't really.
I don't think they'd go somewhere that takes 18 hours to get to by plane.
Yeah!
From the UK.
Well, fair enough.
So, that's RS updates for the week. On to questions now. You want to take the first one? Read it?
I would love to. The first question is from Lord Rickles, I think, as long as that's not a typo.
Yes, that is correct.
Hey, Shane and Chiefy, just a few questions about RSVB. First, why do you allow people to register with a name other than their RS username on the forums? I always get confused as to who is who. If someone was to change their RS name, they could simply apply for a name change here, or does PHPBB not allow you to change names? Shall we answer
should we
that?
Take that first? Okay.
Why do we allow that?
Because people might not want to use their RuneScape name. If it's a really absurd name, they might want to try and use their real-life name, or they might
like
want something
Snake.
That's lasting if they ever quit.
Or Shane12088.
Yeah, there you go. But you're Chief Snake on the forums, too.
Or Brad Woodward.
Yes, which did change to Brad. You kind of, you didn't get in early enough on that.
No, I didn't jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, we might be able to work out.
I didn't care about changing using my real life name. But...
If you ever wanted to, we might be able to work out some kind of a deal.
Sounds good to me.
But, yeah, that's the main reason, and sometimes people sign up who don't play RS. And as for name changes, you can change your name like once every 6 months on the forums. We actually brought that changed name policy in when RuneWire...
Yeah, I was going to say, what? Wait, since when? Oh, okay.
Yeah, you just have to go in and there you go, you can change your name. So, if you ever get tired of Lord Rickles, feel free to change to something else. And, you know, the way I do it that is helpful to me, if there's people that I want to keep in touch with who I don't know if they're going to be changing their name, people who I don't talk to every day, what I do for them... is I keep a little notes section of who's who. So that's the way I do it.
I don't. In-game. If you change your name, you get removed from my friends list.
Yeah, and you know, I think I might have to go through and purge a bunch of people because I have no idea through who a bunch of these names are on my friends list anymore. So
yeah. People ask me why I haven't added them. That is usually my excuse. Or it's the truth. It can be both.
It's fair.
Anyway.
All right.
Also, would it be possible to set up events on... Oh, sorry, unless you were going to continue. Would it be possible to set up events on Mumble similar to the weekly gaming sessions? I think that would be something a lot of people would be interested in, and it would possibly get more people interested in using the voice chat. Let's face it, if some of the podcast hosts were to show up, a lot of fans would probably hop in to talk to you guys. Thanks for all the effort you put in every week. One of your many listeners, Lord Rickles. Oh, Lord Rickles.
Rickles. Sounds like tickles.
Rickles. I want to tickle Lord Rickles. Until he...
Okay.
That was supposed to rhyme, but... Until he squickles? Yeah. Okay. Go.
Okay, Mumble. We like Mumble, don't we?
Yes, because it's Linux friendly.
And it sounds just as good as Skype. You can crank the bandwidth up, or you can turn it down. You could have a 16 kilobit version, or you could have a 92 kilobit version. Yep. It's really up to you how good you want the quality to sound. So, that's the reason we like Mumble. And, you know, I think first things first is to get people to come to events. I think the events crew will be doing something for the Christmas events, so, keep an eye open for that, but yeah, definitely we'll be using Mumble for that and other things in the future, which we'll discuss in a short while.
So chat-specific type things, as he is interested in, for example, the podcast hosts showing up on Mumble.
So like just to use it to chat?
Because he says, yeah, that sounds like it. Events similar to the weekly gaming events sessions. I mean,
yeah, you know, sometimes if there's a bunch of people in there, I put my head in.
Yeah, it sounds like
it's been
a while
since I've seen anyone in there.
Oh, okay. I don't even post on the forums, let alone chat with anyone. So, however, if I did, then I would.
Yeah,
thank you, Lord Rickles.
People were pretty responsive to Mumble last time. Somebody posted about it on RuneWire or whatever, so you might just want to post on RuneWire and get a bunch of people together and go on the Mumble server to talk. You could do that.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah. Especially with the good quality of it, you know, and it's free, and, you know, you don't have to pay for slots like you do with TeamSpeak or Ventrilo. And it integrates seamlessly with our PHP VB database, so you just sign in with your forum username and password and off you go. Definitely nice. I don't see why people don't like Mumble.
It's a lot better than TeamSpeak, isn't it? And even,
yeah,
even Ventrilo. Why?
Yep. So that's why we use Lord Rickles. I mean, that's why we use Mumble.
Yeah.
Well, at least we certainly had a bit of fun with Lord
show
Rickles
title. That's
Tickle,
why we
Rickles,
use
and Squickle. Yeah.
Okay.
Alrighty. Next one from Firewing 401. Dear host of RHBNB, two-part question this week. What are your thoughts on abortion? Are you anti-abortion or pro-choice?
Oh, did you want to
go first?
No, let's do this. I haven't thought about this in a long time.
Well, let's do the second part first, then.
Yeah.
Also, what is your favorite show on the Twit Network? Mine are Tech News Today, iPad Today, Twit, Blast Weekly, Forecast, Framerate, and he doesn't like Windows Weekly or Mac Weekly because he finds their hosts annoying. Thanks for answering my question. Love the show, Firewing 401.
Well,
I don't think you listen to anything on the Twit Network, do you?
No, I don't think I do.
No, you probably don't.
That I don't listen to any podcasts, but that's quite a collection there. How can
yeah,
you
that listen? Is a lot to listen to. I don't know. I normally only listen to two or three.
Someone has
of
a lot
shows
of
shows a week. Well, it's good for commuting. Paul listens to that many.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I typically do Tech News Today probably 3 to 4 days a week. Twit, depending on who's on, and Security Now every week. If it's a important season, like a Windows release season, I will listen to Windows Weekly. It's gotten better since they got that person by the name of Mary Jo on there. So it kind of takes away from that. But I do
Mary
agree with those two. Yeah, Mary Jo Foley, I think she is a Windows writer for, I want to say, PC Mag.
Oh, okay. Is she appealing to you?
No, she just helps balance it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
But sorry.
I do agree with you that the MacBreak Weekly hosts are annoying, and you know it.
Just trying to stir things up there, but.
Yeah, it won't be successful.
Okay.
So,
what are your thoughts on abortion? Are you anti-abortion or pro-choice?
Do you want to go first?
Okay. I haven't thought about this question specifically in a long time, since it probably got asked on the forums a couple of years or so ago. But, even though we just had our election here in New Zealand last weekend.
See, it's not an issue there because the parties are smart.
That's right.
They hug the center. They don't do anything crazy.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's not an issue for me, and I guess, and I just don't think it's something that anyone is terribly worried around in this kind of economic climate where there are a lot more important issues to get settled first. It sounds a bit sad in a way, but. I mean, you need to have some economic stability before you go.
You're
thinking
completely
about
right
like
on
this.
That. You're completely right on that.
Yeah, some of the moral
You're
things
completely
can wait
right
a bit.
That.
On the other hand, but as far as I know, I am very, very pro-choice, but I also have very strong personal anti-abortion feelings. If that makes sense, I'm both, but I believe that it's wrong to not. Offer the choice. So.
Okay.
It's very wrong.
Okay. Yeah, and just one thing to kind of go with. I think one thing most Americans get swept up in, especially American politicians, is that step one, economy. Step two, national security. Everything else after that.
Hmm. I don't know the exact priority, but I think for this particular issue, it's not...
Well, yeah, it's pretty low down on the list when you compare everything else the government could be doing, you know?
For me, at least, I believe both ways. I wouldn't be terribly, terribly concerned at the moment if it was outlawed or if it was allowed, because, I could go both ways, but
yeah, I'm not. I'm kind of in the same boat too. I mean, it's a subject that people feel one way or the other on, and
I can understand why people would be more concerned about it than I am at the moment. Like it needs to be such and such, but that's my opinion.
I mean, I don't agree with the crazies that go out and kill abortion doctors. You know, there are people that do that.
Yeah,
but you know, as for me, I think it comes down to both parties involved being responsible, you know, and really considering what they're doing beforehand. But with that being said, I would like to be in the camp of saying that I don't agree with it. And like you said, you know, there's a line, I think, between when somebody becomes a person. That's the thing that I am not quite sure about yet as to where that line is. But I think wherever that line is where the where abortions should not be allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the thing I'm not sure on. I don't know if you call that 3 months or 6 months or any time. Like, I don't know. Does it make sense if it was a month and a bit before delivery? Have an abortion then?
Not really.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly. Does it make sense to have an abortion if the kid is 20 years old?
Yes. Yes, it does.
The answer is no. Okay, well, maybe not 20.
I just wanted to grown up. Statistics a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
Okay. But let's say someone's 12 and you decide you don't want the kid. Is it allowed to kill the kid then?
No, it clearly is not.
Exactly. So why should it be allowed at any time then? It's just a matter of when, I think. It's when is defining that critical line. But as you said, it's a complicated subject.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it depends. I mean, Christian or, you know, people who believe that a fetus is a living thing. I don't know how it works scientifically. I don't even care, to be honest. But,
yeah, see,
you know, there are people who believe that you should never, ever have an abortion at any stage for any reason. I don't know how I feel about that. But, I mean, this is coming from Shane and I, who don't believe that. You know, we're still the kind of people who don't support abortion, so.
Yeah, see, it's the whole thing of being able to be moral without being religious, you know?
Yeah, that's what we're still, being as moral as we can. It's just using what we know.
And, you know, like you said, it's not a priority for most governments, I think, because in 2006, when our conservatives here took power, that was one thing people were really scared of. And they've been in power for almost 6 years now, and they haven't even touched the issue, haven't even had the idea of bringing up a free vote on the subject. So,
oh, that's good.
So really, I think it's more polarizing in the U.S. than it is in most other places.
Yeah, that's a good point. The U.S. seems to be less concerned about their economic state and more concerned with passing
unnecessary fluff.
Yeah,
there you go.
Fluff is good. We'll go with that.
Yep. Anyways, thank you for those questions, Firing 401.
Yes. We had fun
Next
with those.
Next up.
Hey, Chief and Shane. It's been a while since I've been here, mainly because I've been very busy, but now with my drives from college and home, 7-hour drive, I have more time on my hands. I just recently got back into RuneScape and bought members again for one reason. I feel like right now is the golden age of RuneScape. Do you agree with this statement? I've been playing RuneScape for probably about 8 or 9 years off and on. And I remember the days when before the Grand Exchange and before it was so easy to make money. And I kind of liked that, and I had a lot of fun. But I feel like now with the bots gone, the fun updates Jagex has had, and many other things just make it seem like it is the time to play this game. If not the Golden Age, then RuneScape is at least in a very good stage. Thank you and sorry for the long question. LOL. That is from Thousand Foot Crutch.
Before we start this off, I was holding my breath up until last week. About the bots.
That they wouldn't make a reappearance?
Yeah, and they haven't so far, so.
Oh, okay.
But week by week that we go, I'm getting more and more confident that they're gone for good, so. But I'm going to say no to that statement, actually. For me, the golden age of RS was 2004, 2005, 2006, and probably 2007 as well.
Yeah. I can see where he's coming from, because, I mean, RuneScape is in quite a good state with... At least, I mean, the fact that the bots are gone, that's pretty perfect. The Jagex have done an amazing job, by my standards.
Well, they're still real-world traders, which they're
working. Yeah, but...
It's not a utopia.
But who really cares so much about real-world traders? I mean, bots are gone. that's pretty incredible in itself. And that would be the main issue there. So be it that there are still real traders. But, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say, because I can see why you would really be into playing right now, because it is the perfect sort of a time.
I feel that way, too.
Everything's coming together. Yeah. It's, yeah, with every little thing that they do...
Just in time for the end of the year.
Yeah, and it seems like some of these new updates are going to be good. But... I still don't know. I mean, I wouldn't call it the golden age just yet, because RuneScape has been through some pretty good stages in the past, and even when it has had bots, I don't think they have made as much of an impact as they have been making recently before we actually had the big bot nuke thing.
Yeah.
Because it was sort of balanced anyway, and... So they didn't matter. I think in the past, even though the game was a lot more crap than it is now, it was more well-roundedly crap. And so when I say that, I mean it was more well-rounded as a whole, and everything sort of meshed together quite nicely. Whereas, personally, I think where the game is going nowadays, and has been for a very long time, is... spiraling into inconsistency, and it really, 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 really annoys me. So that's
just
me.
User interface inconsistency, right?
Yeah, no, not just user interface. I'm a pedantic bastard, so I say that. But but others will say it's the perfect time to play, and I can see where they would be coming from. That's I think what I'm trying to say.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, I think if you look at RuneFest 2012 and what they've been doing, it looks like they're trying to take it more mainstream with the sound updates, the graphics updates, and whatnot. Because if you ask anybody who's looked at RuneScape from the outside before, played it back when RS2 or even played RS Classic and left, they're going to say that RuneScape was the game with crappy graphics, crappy sound. And, you know, that's a stigma they have to shake, because... it wasn't until, I think, last year that the graphics started to get really amazing, I think. HD was a good step, but not the right step yet. And we're just starting to see the sound change right now. So, like, I can see they're going into a good place with that. But the golden age, as in, this is also another thing. I think it depends on player perspective. Because when you have all this money, you buy the stuff you're training, and your skills are all relatively high. I mean, most of your skills are over 80, I assume, right?
All except Dungeoneering, yes.
Okay, well that's the same for me, too. And when it gets to that level, it's just really hard to collect anything on your own. And back in the olden days, that's what I used to do. Like, I used to go collect all my herbs. I think I collected all my herbs up to level 50-odd herb lore.
Yeah, yeah.
Way back when I got members in 2004. So, you know, it just goes like that. And, you know, I think it could be player perspective. It'd be interesting to see what a new player as of this year, who is just getting started, would think of the game, kind of thing. But, yeah, I see where you're coming from that. But we have our own perspectives, too. I mean, you've been playing RuneScape since RuneScape Classic. I've been playing since RS2 came out.
Yep.
So, I don't know. It's a matter of opinion, and like I said, the best days of RuneScape will be in the past, in 2004, 2005, when everything was just evolving, you know, for instance, when Desert Treasure or Monkey Madness came out. Those kind of groundbreaking quests.
Yeah.
We don't get that kind of groundbreaking anymore.
That's right.
Kind of
sets
the landmark
really
for me.
Groundbreaking happens. Yeah. I mean, even though there are still new quests that come in all the time, it's kind of like, well, we've had all this hype before, and you're right.
Yeah.
Also, the other thing was with the inconsistency. I mean, like you were saying, how the graphics only started getting really good kind of like last year or even early this year when they started updating all the trees and things. And that started changing everything a lot, in my opinion. I think there's still a massive difference between areas like Falador and just all the non-Nimbus places, Falador and Varric and places like that. And then you go and look at the members areas like Catherby and Seas Village and all around there, where all the trees are all normal. And if you teleport from one place to the other, it's a real shock because Catherby and what's it called, Camelot, look really dull in comparison when you put them side by side. And so while it's only sort of halfway there in a way. It feels incomplete to me, RuneScape, at the moment, because, it's hard to explain.
Well, they've been working their way west.
They have been working their way, But a part of me just wants them to save it for a big update all at once.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what I said just when this came out. I mean, when they first started coming out with these, we had RuneScape HD all come out at once, which is understandable because you're changing the engine for that. But here they can just put these updates out as they come in. And, you know, maybe they could have rebranded RuneScape as RuneScape 3D or RuneScape Max or something. I don't know if they put all those kind of things out at the same time.
Yeah.
Rather than just, you know, but
I think I can see why they're doing it. It's definitely good to see progress and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And see things happening really fast.
And actually, taking this up another level, the whole idea of incremental updates seems to be where software development is going. I mean, if you look at a web browser, where's the version numbers? They're all gone, except for Internet Explorer and Safari. So Jagex has always done that kind of updating, so it just kind of makes sense for them to do these kind of updates.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Well, I think we covered that one good, unless you have anything else on that.
Yeah, leave it there. That's good.
I think you should read this next one to do it justice.
Okay. Excuse me. Sup, my bros? How are you? It's good to have Chief back. Nah, I'm assuming RR Man is not Morty. Funny enough, my first question only exists because I tried to do a question today. My recording software messed up, so I was wondering if you two know of any free audio software that would be good enough to send in audio questions. I thought this also might help others who want to send in their first audio questions, because we all know they are far greater than simple written text. Thank you. That is exactly correct. Secondly, an RS question. What are the next three level 99s you would like to get? Mine would be Hunter, Attack, and Farming. LOL. We have some very humorous people out there today. Peace out, RR Man. P.S. I can't remember the name of the video off the top of my head, but Chief, that vampire video was epic. Thank you so much.
It was, wasn't it?
Yes. So.
Just for anybody who wasn't here before, the title of that was Fangless.
Yes, it was. So how do you go about recording audio questions? Well, I can answer that question for you, just a little bit. You can either record it yourself, or if you have difficulty recording it yourself, which a lot of less computery inclined people might have difficulty with. Screw it. You answer this question, Shane.
Okay.
Well, I was not having very good luck with my wording there.
Well, if you don't want to record an audio question in an audio editor and send us the file and export it and whatnot, that was the first and that's the best way to get the best quality for sending an audio question to us.
But and you can also edit it if you make a mistake. Just
That's true. Just chop stuff up and whatnot.
Whereas if you do that when you send us a question, we'll keep it and we'll put it in the clip show. Be warned.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I didn't say that.
Those go to questions@rsbnb.com. If you got a file, you can send there. So I think first we'll say the best audio editor, the free audio editor that I always recommend is Audacity. It's open source. Runs on Mac, Windows, and Linux.
Yep.
So get that. If you need an audio editor, it's pretty simple to use. So that's method one. Method two involves phoning us, which is kind of expensive if you're not in the U.S., but that number to phone that into is 571-572-2632, if you're in the U.S., of course.
Unless you have Google Talk with free calling to the U.S.
Yes, Google Talk or, that's true, or a long-distance plan to the U.S.
Yep. Or just do something really simple. If you're going to use Google Talk, then you might as well use Skype.
Yeah, that's the simplest way, actually, is just to use Skype. Add the user RSBNB update, no spaces, no punctuation, just add that to your Skype and call it, and the voicemail will pick up, and you will be able to leave a question for us. So you can just call it, and off you go, and we'll get the email, and we'll put the question in the show, providing I get the email, because sometimes Skype doesn't do it, but I tend to make it a habit of sending it, so.
Ooh, yeah. RSBNB update has joined the chat.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, call. Let's see if that's working.
Oh, are we going to give an example? Right.
Yeah, I was going to give an example, but I don't know if we
but
can.
But it probably doesn't like me.
I don't think we can in a comp. I don't think we can if we're in a conference call. So it's just RSBNB update, add it, and leave a message. So that's the best way of doing it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it says offline with voicemail, so it's still working. That's good. All right. Thank you, RR Man, actually, for mentioning that. Now I don't need to leave my note at the end to tell us how to send questions in.
You forgot the.
I know. I said, yeah, we're not done yet. We're going to talk about $3.99s now.
Okay. That's good. What would you like to get next?
Well, I don't really go for 99s anymore. So I'm going to just say what 99s I would like. I don't think I will get them in this order, or if I ever will get them, but I want 99 summoning. 99 runecrafting and 99 smithing.
Interesting,
like I said,
choices.
I don't think summoning and runecrafting are hard. I don't particularly know if I'll ever get those, but I would like them at someday.
Okay. I think that one day I will eventually get 99 construction. I've wanted that for quite some time. I've tried to set myself a goal of merchanting enough every day to fundraise my construction goal so that I can, fundraise enough each day for one day's worth of construction, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So then,
and you should...
I won't have lost anything by the end of it, theoretically.
Yeah, that's good.
We'll see how that goes, because oak planks have Well, they were going up last I looked, but I don't check very often.
You know, you can't trust those GE graphs anymore.
Yeah.
Ever since they put that website out that, if you look at the graph for an oak plank, last date, November 28th, it's currently December 2nd.
Oh, wow. Oh, see, they're going down again. But they're still pretty high. $590 is the current price. Ideally, I would like to buy them at like $400. Please and thank you. Or less.
Well, if you have any donations for him, you can send those along.
No, I'll probably never get 99. Well, not in the near future. So it will seem really not worthwhile contributing towards that. Just leave me. Leave me be. I'll get it. I'll get there.
Okay, and your other two?
That's hard. Summoning would be really cool, but I don't think it will ever happen. Well, maybe one day. It'd be, go hardcore at Rock Lobsters or something. Yeah, summoning and magic, bam. Oh, and ranged, I had been working towards for ages.
You're forgetting something.
What am I forgetting?
You're forgetting agility, because you were in that little triad to get 99, and two of three of us did.
No, that is... No, I've changed my mind. I will never grind a skill like that again.
Okay, But Rock Lobsters isn't grinding?
Not in the same sense that agility is. Because agility is mindlessly, mind-numbingly boring. Yeah. And agility is just the same thing over and 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 over.
Yeah, that's true. So I don't know how I got 99.
Yeah. If I had absolutely nothing to do again over the summer, I would. Yeah. So if I were a few years younger, then definitely. But unfortunately, I have a little bit of a life now. So...
Okay. So those were your three. What were they again?
Yeah, I cheated.
Magic, ranged, and summoning?
Yes.
Or, no,
and
construction?
Kind of halfway magic. I mean, yeah. Sorry. Construction, ranged, summoning. No. Well, mainly construction, ranged, and magic, actually. And then possibly a byproduct of that summoning.
Okay.
Maybe. Or... somewhere around the other way around, but definitely construction. Yeah.
All right.
Last question
is from Nomad, wondering, dear Shane and Chief, I was wondering how to make a website, and is it hard to do? Thanks. 00, I am saved. 00. Well, it depends what kind of website you want to make. If you want to make it by hand, or if you want to make it somewhere else. Or if you just want a Tumblr, or you just want a WordPress blog. Or if you want to start from scratch and code your own CMS like someone here did.
He's really wondering how to make a website. I don't think he wants to do that.
Well, there's multiple ways to make a website, so it can be easy or hard. So it can be
easy.
But
if he doesn't even know how to make a website to begin with, then...
then, yeah, we should probably go the easiest route, I imagine. So, there's three methods I'm going to talk about here. They're all pretty simple. Two of them are free, one of them is not. The one that is not free, of course, will give you a much more professionally looking website. Option number one is a WordPress.com blog if you just want to write.
Oh, sorry. I thought you actually meant like code your own CMS style.
No. No, we're not going to do that.
No. Yeah. I was like, for a beginner.
So WordPress.com, if you just want to write things up and post them, you can do that. At WordPress.com. That's completely free. The second thing, if you want to just interact mainly with media that you find online, share stuff that you find online, Tumblr. That's something that's been around a long time and it's finally gaining popularity, so Tumblr is good. They call it a blog, but I think it's more like a website kind of thing. What do you think?
Tumblr. I've never used it personally, but from what I've seen of other people's Tumblrs, I don't know what purpose they serve, because...
Yeah, they're more media-ish than WordPress, I think.
Yeah, it's a cool idea, but I wouldn't go out of my way to read anyone's Tumblrs.
Yeah, so... And then the third way I think I should mention is a little company called Squarespace. It's essentially a place that lets you design your website by hand, or you can start with a pre-made template and just use that and put content in it. I think it costs a few dollars a month, but you get a professional-looking website compared to a WordPress blog or a Tumblr. And really, it's what you want to use if you want an easy-to-make website that's a website and not a blog or a Tumblr. So those are my three recommendations. I don't know if you have any different recommendations, or I don't, like, see, he could be asking, how do I code it by hand?
That would be the first, well, my first guess, but I don't know. In this day and age, it's so easy just to use a web service that's available to you.
Yeah. I mean, you could learn HTML and put up a few web pages at a free web host somewhere. There's nothing wrong with that. HTML is a good thing. And, you know, it's fairly easy, and knowing HTML is always good. Mm-hmm. So it really depends what you're looking at.
And
if you're
fun.
Looking for zero effort, or if you want to learn. Yes, it is fun now. Many years ago, it was not fun. But that's a whole other story in itself, isn't it? Do you remember the star HTML hack with a slash in it for IE6?
No.
Like star HTML, whatever, and it would hack something for IE6 in terms of the style sheets?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we use those.
I don't think so.
But we've abandoned IE6 now, so. Anyways, is there anything else we should mention on that, or is that good?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right, then. Moving on to the tech news. So,
thank you, Nomad.
Yep.
Ooh.
Google Maps.
Oh, I was actually on Google Maps earlier, and I saw this thing pop up saying, would you like to try something new or something? And I accidentally clicked out of it, so I didn't see it. But
you know, this is one of the things you Android people have going for you that's really lucky. The fact that you have a special version of Google Maps, and they're bringing this to you guys, indoor maps. So examples they give are maps of Mall of America, maps of airports. For instance, Mall of America, IKEA, Home Depot, Macy's and Bloomingdale's stores are mapped. Also, Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, Chicago O'Hare, San Francisco, and Narita International in Japan are also mapped. So basically, you can go to one of these areas and view a map of the area. And they even have it in 3D, so you can see where you are. So you clicked out of it?
Well, I don't know. When it came up earlier in the day, it just faded away and didn't give me a chance to click it.
Oh, okay.
So this sounds cool, but it's not implemented for many things.
Yeah, and it's only Android.
And it's
right now.
It's pretty niche. Yeah, only Android, I guess.
Well, no, it makes sense. Why wouldn't a company want to use this API and publish it?
How often are you actually going to need a map of the indoors? For airports, it would be very handy. Actually, possibly really big malls too, but I'm not used to going to big malls. Small
See, that's one of the things I was thinking of here, West Ed Mall.
I'm not really used to anything big.
You just get it direct. You don't need to check a directory anywhere. You just arrive at the mall, pull up your maps thing, and it knows you're there, and there you go. That's the benefit of it. That's what I think the true benefit is. But yeah, airports too. I mean, the San Francisco airport is pretty big, and you can see here how huge it is. So definitely something you might want to use if you're traveling. But, what?
I'm sorry. Nothing. Where is this?
See, look at the Mall of... Look at... Oh, I was saying, look at the Mall of America link.
Where is the Mall of America link?
It's in the Google new frontier for Google mapping link, and then it's the first picture on there.
As in the first video or first actual picture?
No, scroll down. There's two videos and then the first picture.
Oh, okay.
The one that isn't moving.
All right. Ice cream sandwich. You know?
What?
The platform.
Oh, the operating system.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So, I don't know. It's interesting. I'd like to see That's something big. Like that.
It looks
here.
Like a castle. I mean,
yeah, ours is bigger here. Hey, look at that. Look how Apple Store and Microsoft Store are right across from each other.
As they should be.
That's so funny, isn't it?
I suppose so.
You go to one and then you go to the other if they don't have what you want, I guess. But Yeah, so it'll be good once we get this on iOS, but I'm not holding out much hope for the near future because Apple writes a Maps application and is potentially considering switching to Bing for the next version. Yeah, so. Look forward to that if you're an Android user. All right, next up, Venezuela's Hugo Chavez. Apparently hacking Twitter accounts with Cuba's help. Despite his reputation as a darling of the left for his anti-American rhetoric, Venezuela's strongman Hugo Chavez is known by many in his country as a dedicated suppressor of free speech. An article in the International Herald Tribune by Francisco Toro spells out lengths that Hugo Chavez has gone to stifle one of his... How do you say that French word? Bêtes noires?
I'm not looking at the article. Redirecting you to blah, 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 blah.
I pasted the name.
Dark. I don't know. Bates is like an idiot. Sorry, what is this? I'm not even... If I read it in context, what was it?
Oh, it I don't know. It stifled one of his bêtes noires. Twitter.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, it says the Twitter accounts of many Chavez's critics have suddenly begun spewing pro-Chavez anti-opposition propaganda. So, you know, these things when people are on Twitter, these high-profile people have these accounts that are the same as a regular account, and then they get broken into, and you get this kind of thing happening. And, you know, I wouldn't go as far as calling this cyber warfare, but it's definitely, I think, something that people in general need to be aware of and keeping their passwords secure. You don't want somebody going on your account and starting to put things out saying complete opposite. Like, we don't know if this is true or not, but just the idea of it. It's one of the other hurdles that we can talk about. For instance, in the U.S. of the government not focusing properly on what they should be doing, you know? But in any case, guard your passwords and don't let a Venezuelan dictator have control of your account.
This seems like a very obscure sort of a story. I wonder where you find some of these sometimes, Shane.
Well, the title, Read Write Web.
Mm-hmm. I suppose so. Right,
but,
next.
At first, it was... So let me say, at first, it was very easy to spot the tampering. Overnight, the tweets went from broadly critical of the government to virulent, obscenity-laden, all-caps attacks on the opposition.
You wonder what the point is, in a way. If it's so obvious, then...
Yeah. Anyways. I just thought I'd put that in because, you know, it's Twitter and we don't want anybody's accounts to get compromised, so... Anyways. Have you heard of Carrier IQ?
No, I have not.
Okay, it was discovered that on, I believe it was Android and Nokia handsets, the wireless carriers in the U.S. are using this piece of software called Carrier IQ to, of course, transmit data back to them and whatnot. And there's been some kind of stuff floating around. What exactly are they sending back? Are they sending back things like... what numbers you're calling and what keystrokes you're typing and what websites you're visiting kind of thing. Because if that was the case, they could totally bypass the whole SSL nature of the internet and steal passwords and whatnot. So That's essentially where this Carrier IQ thing has come up from. And people are treating it kind of like a rootkit on people's phones. So that's currently where we're at. And there's really no information as to exactly what has been given out by this piece of software for the people that are using it, but certain privacy advocates, of course, don't like that kind of thing. And you know, I guess that happens when you have carriers like that. You look at the whole often Android versus iOS thing, that Android is open source, iOS is not, so Android is open source, therefore it's safer, we'll know that nobody's watching us. Whereas we don't know if anybody's watching us, but it's Apple's already come out clearly and said that if you say not to send usage data, Carrier IQ is not working on your iPhone. Whereas you don't have a choice with an Android handset, so. Open source does not always mean more secure like that, eh?
Yeah. But at least there is the potential for it to be discovered. I mean, when it's closed source, your phone could be doing potentially anything and you would never know ever.
Yeah, that's true, but you know, I think it comes down to
it's unlikely because I mean thing. Yeah, if it was ever found to be false, then Apple would be screwed. But
yeah, and you know, they might end up like Mark Zuckerberg on privacy watch for the next 20 years.
Yeah
but it's important to note that this is only in the U.S.
That's good.
And, you know, I think it's a whole knee-jerk reaction kind of thing, because what are you going to use if you got this Android-based phone? What else are you going to use? You obviously chose Android because you like the OS, or you don't like the iPhone, so you're not going to choose the iPhone. You're not going to choose a Nokia handset because I don't hardly know anybody that uses Windows Phone 7 or whatever
that
it is.
Would be silly.
And I don't think people like BlackBerry, so the point comes up. What are you going to use for a phone? Tin cans and string? I guess the point I'm trying to make is it just seems like a knee-jerk reaction for something that's always been there and something that's probably buried in the terms of use, and that you'll send anonymous data back. And
yeah.
I mean, it's no different than a computer taking track of where the Wi-Fi is to find out where it is and stuff. So,
yeah.
I don't see it as an issue, but apparently some people do. And there is an application actually on Android that you can download on the Android market called AnyCut. So you create a shortcut for any application, apparently, and it displays can display a full list of system activity. Can you do that on an unrooted Android phone? Display a full list of system activity that's going on? I guess with this application, but that seems like an awful deep hook to let a developer have, don't you think?
I don't know. Because, I don't know. On Linux itself, wouldn't you have to run a process... I don't know, monitor
yes,
list thing as root in order to root. Yeah.
Yeah, to see everything, you would. And
you don't you know, have the capability to do that on an Android, so I don't know.
I guess maybe you'd see it if the carriers were running it as a as a special user. That wasn't root, you know? Just so it wouldn't have all those capabilities. And then if that was the case, you can't argue that it was put there in malice, because if they wanted to do damage and do that, they'd run it as root, aside from your view, and I think that probably would have already been seen. So, I don't know. It's also worth noting that if you have one of the Google-based phones, like the pure Google Android phones, you're okay as well.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Anyways, so that's that. And one final piece of news to mention here in passing is that Napster is officially gone.
Ooh. I didn't know it still existed.
It existed as a legal service. Bought by Rhapsody. Actually, they just bought the Napster-based subscribers, and then Napster shut down. So if you're Napster subscriber, now you're a Rhapsody subscriber. But for anybody who wasn't around back in 1999 or whatever, that's when the whole internet music piracy thing really kicked off with Napster and people sharing their songs on networks and stuff. I think the modern-day successor to that is LimeWire. I don't know if people still use LimeWire.
Yeah, I don't know either, actually.
See, isn't that a good thing when we don't know if people use it? That means we're not involved in that kind of community.
Yeah, that particular kind of community, no. I suppose not. But yeah.
Yeah, so.
Hmm.
But Napster's gone, if you... You could probably head on over to Wikipedia and look up the history of Napster if you want to see everywhere that it's been and what it started with.
I've done that once or twice.
Yeah, it's a nice way to go back and look at like old user interfaces and stuff, you know, and see what it used to look like in 1999 when we were all running that horrible thing called Windows ME.
Ooh. Who else actually used that? I never ran that.
Oh, we...
I was so not up-to-date enough back then.
It came on a computer. That thing crashed so often, but we're heading into a completely different realm there.
Other things?
Yes, time for some other things. The thieving skill of the month is over, and that was, of course, won by Pris. That's the second month in a row she's won. She gained a grand total of 2.2 million XP.
Amateur.
Amateur?
Surely that could have been better.
Well, look at the graph, look at the big jump between the 21st and 22nd.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Someone could have done that several days in a row and just blown away the competition. But no, Pris just had to go and... do that only once and everyone gave up.
Yep. Second place is the Lion 777 with 1.3 million XP, and third place is Rod Say with 941k XP. So.
You know, I say this, and if it were actually me competing, I would get nowhere near that much. But I mean, yeah. Back in my heyday, obviously.
Yeah, well, it's thieving. I mean, you can get 300k XP per hour.
Yeah, I know there's potential. That's the only reason I would say that. But, well done, Pris. You won fair and square. I mean, you did what you had to do.
And then we got December. Already. The smithing skill of the month. Not farming, unfortunately, like last December.
Oh.
You know, I was kind of hoping it would be farming because I need a kick in the pants to get the extra 2.5 million XP to get 40 million farming XP.
2.5. I'm very close to 30 mil now. Well, not really, but I'm getting closer. I'm 700k away, I think. 800k. Sorry.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, see, this turned into farming update here, but sorry about that. This is bound to happen. Anyways, smithing. Right. First day in, Jackie, currently winning with 352k experience gained. Second place is Schwa with 254k. And third is Alta with 172k. You know, it could be stealing creation, I'm betting. And plate bars, maybe.
Back in my day, we didn't have stealing creation.
Yeah, the best thing we had was knives or cannonballs.
Hmm. That actually is what I did.
For cheap XP.
Cannonballs. Good old cannonballs.
But they were so slow, weren't they?
They were a little bit, but I didn't really notice it back then.
Anyways, so that's that. Also remember that even if you are not signed up and you're not winning, just remember to continue to get experience in this, because your experience will go towards your Skill of the Year account, since it is December, and anybody who's gained experience in a 2011 Skill of the Month will be entered into that, and whoever gains the most XP will get the Skill of the Year trophy.
So, exciting!
With that being said, December also means the Informer Roundup for December, so you can head on over to informer.rsbnb.com and read that as well. All right, shall we start on the achievements of the week?
We shall.
Achievements this week, because there are lots of them, so you can go first.
This is good. This is the best I've seen in a while. So, first off, J. Mycene, if I said that right, got 99 crafting on the 1st of December. Congratulations.
Next up, Aaron E. with 99 rune crafting on November 30th.
And I think that completes his set of 99s. I was just looking earlier, being a stalker. Oh,
okay.
I'm pretty sure it did. And then Devo got 99 fletching, Devo338, on the 28th of November. Congratulations.
Next up is Adiv with 99 constitution on November 27th, 2001, apparently. Yes, 2011. There you go.
And then Biscuit.
Next
got
up
99
is Biscuit.
Cooking. Hey, on the 27th of November.
And finally, a very interesting name, got 99 woodcutting on the 27th, entitled Braid My Pubes. That's a very strange name. I'm quite shocked that that managed to get through Jagex's filters.
I'm quite shocked that it managed to get through your lips, actually. Well done.
Well, it's just words on the page, so I read
okay.
It's there.
Fair enough. Yep.
All right. So congratulations to you all, and look forward to seeing more achievements next week. December is here, and that means we need your clips. So, clip show coming up, as usual, at the end of the year. If you have a special moment of this year on RSBNB Update that you want to mention, you can send those in to us by visiting update.rsbnb.com/bestof, BESTOF, no spaces, no punctuation there, and you have roughly until the middle of the month to submit those. And we really do need the clips, because it's much better when you guys put your clips together rather than we put them out. So, because if we just do them, then it's just what we thought, and you guys don't have any opinion into it, and you know, you guys are the listeners, so you guys should know what stands out. So please do send those at update.rsbnb.com/bestof.
And let's be honest, it is Shane choosing clips mostly, so good luck.
Well, yeah, because I have the files, so I get to pick.
Be warned, listeners. Be warned.
Lorem ipsum dollar sit emit. Okay. Right.
Did you have something you wanted to say there, Shane?
No, I was just reading what the notes page said.
Good. Next.
So the promo. So those of you guys listening, did you guys hear our promo for this week's show? That's something we'd be interested in knowing if you did, because we want to know if we should keep doing them, because they. It does take bit of time to produce, since it is video and it requires editing of the audio and video, and another time we need to get together. So
and correct.
Let us know if you did see them. Yes, yes, it does require that we say the correct date, so here's what we did for that.
Kia ora, folks. Shane and I will be doing episode 336 this week, and here is what we will cover.
Bloom Lighting. Does it work for you, and are you using it? And most importantly, does it take the graphics of RuneScape in a new direction? Okay, we did that.
Also, UI tweaks and fixes from last week.
Done that. And, of course, the feature update from this week, the Polypore Dungeon.
And let's not forget the December behind the scenes, and there is still time for you to post your questions.
That too. Which can be done at rspmb.com/forums. Yeah, so did you see that? Was it useful to you? Let us know, because this was kind of just a test thing to see if it works and is useful. So let us know what you thought of that in the replies for the show. So shall we tell them what we're going to be up to the last week before we head into clips and special show for wrapping up the year?
I suppose we should.
All right. So you guys might remember that in February, when the Wilderness came back, we did a show in which we slotted in multiple people to come on to talk about the Wilderness and free trade and what they thought of it. So we're going to do something a little bit like that this time around, except we're going to change it up a little bit. First off, we'll be using Mumble for this. The Mumble server, as mentioned. So that's going to be getting some good use. We'll be recording the show there live and, of course, using that to also talk to our people. So we'll be completely invested in Mumble for that episode. You'll have 5 minutes on the show, and you will tell us what your favorite update was of the year, or what's your favorite section of a special RSBMB update episode was at some point during the year. So either an RS update or one of our updates you can talk about in your 5 minutes of fame. And in order to get on this, you guys are probably wondering what you have to do. So you need to, first off, send us a description of the update, whether it's a RuneScape update or an update that we did, telling us what it is. Secondly, you need to submit a clip for the clip show. Yes, we do want those clips. And finally, you need to provide a good description of why that moment was important, whether it be on RuneScape or our show. And then we'll go based on that and pick the best probably five or so people and have them on the show for that.
So good luck, because...
Yes.
That sounds like a lot of work.
We are tough judges.
Yes. Yes, we are. And we're extremely biased. Before...
And also, let's note that staff members are going to be able to enter. So anybody who's on a global mod is going to be able to enter.
I didn't know that.
So all the rules are off, so anybody can enter. So just keep that in mind. And this show is going to be recorded on Friday the 16th. For us in North America, sometime in the afternoon. More details coming at a later date. That's 2 weeks.
Scary. So close.
Yeah, I know, isn't it? I know.
I'm going to have to actually interact with people. Not real people, but real people over the internet.
Yep. So, of course, more.
Yes,
so
I was
we'll be in the...
calling you not a real person.
Oh, I think I'm a real person.
Okay, if you say so.
Chief Snake is awesome.
Oh, you flatter me, Shane. But let's try and keep on topic, please.
Just reading what it says.
As you should.
Okay. Yeah, so do you have a pick this week?
No, I don't. You can go for it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, and you kind of didn't like the idea of this pick, but...
Actually, I do, but I can do it after you.
Okay. Okay, good. This has simplified the way I use I view news and stuff quite dramatically since I started using this a week or so ago. It's a service called Sumify. Basically what it does is you connect social networks, whichever ones you want, so you can connect your Twitter account, Facebook account, and Google Reader account as well. Then it takes everything that's incoming and takes a look at the links here and then correlates with how much they're shared on each network. So let's say you have a bunch of people who are retweeting something, that will have a higher score than something that is just tweeted once or something that just appeared in an RSS feed. So in a way, it takes the most important things that's viewed on your Twitter feed or whatever kind of feed you want to use it for. Like, you don't have to use it for Twitter. You could just use it on Facebook if you're on Facebook or Google Reader. So it's good in that way that it limits you. It forces you down to only 10 items per cycle. And you can only have 4 cycles a day, which I found to be a bit too many, so I go for 3 cycles a day every 8 hours. Now, it's good to have one when I wake up, one for midday, and then one right before bed. Then you can also change when it sends the summaries to you, so that if you're on a specific schedule and you want it at a certain time, that's when it'll send it, and yeah, that's pretty much all there is to it. It's called Sumify. And you can even set it so it'll email you the summary.
Ooh.
But there's only one problem with that, is if you're using Gmail, it kind of clips the message. I get this weird thing saying message has been clipped and I have to open the message in a new window. So I'm not sure what that's about. So that's Sumify. Anything else?
Not really, no. Actually, I decided I'll do my pick next week. It would be more appropriate.
That's good. So,
no, I'm happy with yours. That will do. That'll do, donkey.
Yep.
That will do.
All right. So that's the pick. And so what have we been up to this week?
Not a lot since the last couple of weeks ago. I have been trying to teach myself a language called Vela, which is for Linux people. Yeah, that's pretty much
it. I call it
Vela. Ooh, Vela. That doesn't make sense. V-A-L-A. Vela.
Well, like, Vela? Data.
Oh, well, I say data. So maybe I should say Vela. Voila. Voila.
So anyways, voila. Tell us a bit more about it.
It's a language that compiles into C, so it is super fast, apparently. I don't know how it works, because I'm not that much of a nerd yet. Yet. I will be. Mark my words.
I got something to tell you about this after you told me about it. I'll tell you after.
Okay. Well, that's all. That's kind of all I know about it. But I've been... I want to make... It's my first time ever actually working with a language for Linux specifically, apart from just Java, because I want to actually learn how to work with an operating system that I enjoy using. So I thought I would do that, start learning a language that works on it. And that way I can make GNOME 3 applications if I actually learn how to use it properly. So that's
doing. That would be good because, you know, the Linux applications are always pretty disgusting looking.
Yes, exactly. And, I mean, the first thing I've made already looks better than most of the applications that I have. So I thought, well, I can't really go that wrong, can I? It's brilliant.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
It's easy to be a Linux designer. Really, really easy.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? You know, I think the hardest one to... appease people with is OS X.
Well, yeah, actually, that would take the most effort.
That's one of the things I'm kind of worried about when I start developing for OS X.
Yeah, it would.
Well, no, you can do anything you want with the interface. Just look at Google Chrome, Safari, iCal. How they're all different.
Mm, true.
But that's annoying. But that's a topic for another day.
You know, GNOME 3 and, well, GNOME itself, I guess, is actually surprisingly consistent. You can use a lot of stock features quite nicely. If if you don't go outside of what you should do, you know, if you just stick to the standard GTK objects and widgets and things. I don't even know the correct names for most of the stuff because it's, you know, only the very first stuff I've
text
tried.
Box?
To actually, they call them entries, I think. But,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of absurd, but okay.
But, yeah, exactly. I had to actually look up what a text box was because I couldn't find how to make one. Apparently it's called an entry. Okay.
That's interesting. So what are you making?
I want to make an application that will allow me to send messages from my Android phone from my computer, which I know is sort of possible already through other methods, but I want to do it myself because other methods aren't good enough.
Yeah, and you know, that's just what you do if you're somebody that knows how to program. Is you see a little fault in an application, it means you have to rewrite the entire application for yourself using something else.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. I think it should be possible to do. It will be very difficult because I don't really know what I'm doing, but I think I have access to everything. It'll take ages. But...
Yeah, well, it's Android, so you have to.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just the whole idea coming from iOS that you can write an alternate messaging thing for a phone even is completely out of this world. I mean...
Yeah, it's surprisingly easy. It's like 10 lines of code just to retrieve all the messages on your phone on Android itself. So it's kind of cool. But anyway, what have you been up to?
That is the one nice thing that I like about Android. Not a whole lot, actually. This week primarily on RuneScape's just been farming, trying to figure out what to do next. I did some hunting, butterfly hunting, like I was doing before. I forget what I started doing back in January, so I'm back at doing that now since I finished up those achievement diaries a week or so ago. Oh, I remember what I had to do. Something came up and I had to write something for, I think, the content crew. It came up one of the days I was going to code on the other thing, and then other days I had other stuff to do, and yeah, just it's been a really really busy week in terms of not being able to get things done that I want to get done. So, yeah. Oh, and of course I did capture video for that little promo thing, and, you know, that's why we want to know if it's useful, because I spent probably about an hour capturing and editing the video, and we spent probably... Well, I spent more time putting it all together after, so. Aside from that, I'm going to need a new outfit on RuneScape come January. So if you have any ideas, please do feel free to send in just a general outfit I can use for skilling, farming, that kind of thing. I really don't care for combat, so skilling and farming would be good. And I invite you to use the RSBNB equipment calculator to lay out the items, because they are... I hope they're going to be tradable items, because I need to be able to buy them. So just use the equipment calculator and use the nifty little save feature on there, and save it as a public loadout. And then you can share the link with me, and I'll pick one on our live show in 2 weeks that I'll be using in January. Oh, and the URL for the equipment calculator can be quickly found at rsbb.ca/e. That's it for me.
Very cool.
I think that means we're done.
Yay!
I don't have anything else, so with that being said, it's been RSBB Update 337, and we'll see you guys all next week. December is upon us, the year is drawing to a close.
Summer!